Northern Kingdom of Israel during the time when Assyria was growing in power and increasing in conquest, and they of course presented an immediate threat to the southern kingdom of Judah. And it is to this southern kingdom that Isaiah preaches. From the first five chapters, we see that it was a very sinful time. People had fallen into a variety of sins. The book itself can be divided into three sections. The first 35 chapters basically are rebuke because of the sin of the people. Following that, in chapters 36 through 39, you have a brief historical interlude. And then beginning with chapter 40 through the end of the book, there are messages of comfort and consolation, messages of encouragement. I'd like to read verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, this verse is a part of Isaiah's message of comfort and encouragement to the people. Notice in verses 1 and 2, the Lord says to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then in verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And then, of course, the message of Isaiah begins, again, a message of comfort, a message of encouragement. But we want to take the thought of the message from the words, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. In particular, we want to notice those two words, as eagles, as eagles. And that'll be our subject, as eagles. The word eagle occurs 34 times in the Word of God. And they are noted, of course, for their soaring ability. They are noted in the Scriptures for their swiftness. Eagles are the most majestic of all birds and are fascinating and inspiring. And in Exodus 19, verse 4, and Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, God uses the eagle and its wings as an analogy of himself, as an analogy of his great power toward his people. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, the deity of God is represented by the face of the eagle. So again, eagles are fascinating. They are inspiring. They are symbols of power. They are symbols of freedom, symbols of transcendence, beauty, bravery, honor, determination, and grace. And in our text, the eagle is used as an analogy of God's people, the saved. And in this message, we want to consider God's people and the eagle. The eagle provides many truths about spiritual living. And there are a variety of ways in which the lives of God's people ought to emulate the eagle. In many ways we need to be as eagles. First of all, consider that the eagle is an amazing creation and wonder of God. In the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, on the fifth day, God created the birds. And as is with all of God's creation, they were all created marvels of God. Every bird of the air is a created marvel of God. But if you look at the eagle, we see that it has been amazingly distinguished by the handiwork of God from all other birds. And when God created the eagle, He created a bird species that differs from all others. In other words, it's not a common, ordinary, normal bird. There's something vastly different about the eagle. The eagle, by the amazing and miraculous work of God, is extraordinary. And as such, it lives a different life from the other birds. Now, physically, each one of us are created marvel of God. Our human bodies are miracles of God. Each and every one of us is a created marvel of God. And we can say with David in Psalm 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's true of all of us, every single one of us. But we that are saved, in addition to physical creation, we are an amazing spiritual workmanship of the Lord. We have been born from above. We are a new creation. We have newness of life, and as such, we are a peculiar people. We are not like all the other birds. We are different by the amazing grace of God. We are beyond the norm by the grace of God. We are not only miracles of creation, but we are distinguished by the grace of the Lord. And as the spiritual workmanship of God, we have abilities, we have potential, we have opportunities and privileges that are beyond those who are not the spiritual workmanship of God. We are miracles of God's amazing grace and can therefore live a life that others cannot. Just like that eagle. That eagle can, because of the creation miracle of God, can live a life that other birds cannot live. And other birds do not even have the desire to live. Secondly, we want to notice the eagle's flight pattern. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19, Solomon speaks of some things that are too wonderful for him to fully conceive. In other words, things that are too wonderful for him to fully comprehend. And one of those wonders, he says in Proverbs 30 and verse 19, the way of the eagle in the air. He says, this is something too wonderful for me to fully conceive or comprehend. The way of the eagle in the air. The eagle, by the amazing, miraculous work of God, has the ability for sustained and tireless flights. It's an amazing result of the creation of God. And not only does it have the ability for sustained and tireless flight, that is with very little effort from the eagle. So the sight of an eagle is an awesome sight. Not only because of its size and its wingspan that can be anywhere between 72 and 90 inches, but because of the ease in which it flies, because of the confidence in which they fly. The eagle uses the rising wind currents to fly for miles with minimal effort. From the eagle. I mean, every now and then there'll be a little flap of the wings. But it's with minimal effort. They're able to persevere in flight. Just a small movement of its wingtips now and then is all it needs. All it needs to continue its flight. It's the wind that gives the eagle its thrust. It's something outside of that eagle, a force outside of the eagle that gives it its thrust. And we, the saved, as the spiritual creation of God, we don't have to depend on our own strength to persevere, but it's the wind of God, the Holy Spirit that gives us our power, that gives us our thrust. And we're able to go for miles and miles and miles with little self-effort, just like the eagle. Now, the bald eagle has approximately 7,000 feathers. That's amazing. 7,000 feathers. And these, of course, are especially designed for flight. They are especially designed for a way of life for that eagle. Now, the primary feathers are rounded at the tip and widely spread, and those feathers control the lift and the directional movement of the eagle. Then there are the tail feathers, which basically serve as a rudder to stabilize flight movement. We the saved, as the spiritual creation of God, are designed for a special way of life. We have been designed for a special way of life. Also, the eagle, in addition to its feathers that enable it to have this special way of life, they have dual sets of eyelids. And one is tinted, just like a pair of sunglasses. And what that does is it enables that eagle to look directly into the sun. All the other birds see objects in the light of the sun, but the eagle is able to look directly into the sun and flies toward the sun. And you and I that are saved, we have the ability, because of the miraculous creation of God, because of spiritual life, we have the ability to focus upon the glory of the Son of God. And we are able to move toward it, unlike everyone else. And just as the eagle, as a result of God's work, can persevere in flight, so you and I that are saved by the amazing grace of God can persevere in life, come what may. The way of the eagle in the air is a picture of power. It is a picture of stamina. It is a picture of fortitude. It is a picture of resolve. The way of the eagle in the air is a picture of a victorious life. We are to fly. We are to fly like an eagle, as eagles, God says. Thirdly, the eagle was created for above. The whole creation of the eagle is for above. By the amazing, miraculous work of God, the eagle can and the eagle does live in a different atmosphere than others. And so it is with you and I that are saved. The eagle was created to live in a different atmosphere. The eagle lives for above. The eagle has a love for above. The eagle has desires for above. All because of the creation of God. The eagle is created to function above. The eagle does not live scratching in the dirt like the chickens. Nor does it live walking among the pigeons in the city looking for scraps from people. That's not where the eagle lives. That's not where the eagle was created to live. You'll never see an eagle walking with a pigeon. And you will not see an eagle in the chicken coop. It was not created for the chicken coop. It was not created to walk the city streets. It was created to live above. And so it is with you and I that are saved. The eagle is not an earthbound bird. It can fly up to 10,000 feet, which is almost 2 miles. 2 miles above what is below. It's a picture of freedom. And the eagle has a delight. The eagle has a desire. It has a longing. It has a passion and a zeal for above. The eagle has no delight or desire to live in the chicken coop. The eagle has a desire for above. And when God saved our souls, He put a desire in us to live above this world. Not scratching in the dirt of this world. We the saved, because of the amazing work of God, can live above this world that hates God. This world that is at enmity with God and considers God to be a nuisance. We the saved, by the amazing, miraculous work of God, can live above a world that has no use for biblical discernment and has no desire for biblical morality. We can live above the humanism that has saturated this world and the evolutional thinking of the masses. And we can live above the individualism and the fantasies and the philosophies and the ideas and the values and the attitudes and the ambitions and the pursuits of an antichrist world. We can live above these things, and it ought to be our desire to live above these things. We ought to have no desire whatsoever to live below. Our desire ought to be above. We have by the amazing spiritual creation of God, we can live above the insanity and the destruction of the world. We can live above the spiritual bankruptcy of the world. We can live above the cesspool of ungodliness, live above the cesspool of vileness and wickedness and irreverence and blasphemy and heresy. We, by the creation of God, are able to live above these things. And the longing and the purpose and the priority of the eagle is above. The eagle doesn't look down in the chicken coop and say, "Boy, I wish I could be a chicken. I sure wish I had the life of that pigeon." Has no desire for such a life. We, the saved, by the amazing, miraculous work of God, can live above the norm, live above the ordinary, live above that which is so common and usual. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, we see that we have been raised up, miraculously so, to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there are heavenly places. And because of the amazing and miraculous work of God, we can live in the heavenlies. We can live above the eagle, living in a different atmosphere, a heavenly atmosphere. You know what they do? They mate for life. They mate for life. And you know something else? They will never mate with a vulture. They'll never mate with a chicken. They'll never mate with a pigeon. They mate for life. You know what else they do up above? They raise their young together. It's not just mama eagle. It's mom and daddy eagle raising their young together. And where do they raise their young? Down in the chicken coop? Down in the city streets with the pigeon? No, above. They build their nest. They build their home above. Far, far away from what's below. You know what else the eagle does? They keep their nest. They keep their home clean. They keep it clean. It's a tireless effort. Notice Job 39. Job 39, verse 27. Job 39, verse 27. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? That's where we need to live. That's where we need to build our home. Above. Not below in a chicken coop. We're to build our nest above. And that eagle, from its perch on high, can see what's going on. And that eagle, from its perch on high, can see any threat to the nest. And when that eagle builds its nest high in the tree or high upon the rock, it does so to provide protection and security for those eaglets. It's a place to nurture those eaglets. And we, the saved, like the eagle, best place to find a spouse is in the heavenlies. You don't go down into the chicken coop looking for a spouse if you're an eagle. You don't go down in the city streets looking for a pigeon for a mate if you're an eagle. You don't go looking for the ravens. You stay up on high and you find a mate in the heavenlies. And you and I that are saved, we can find our spouse in the heavenlies. And we can build our marriages and homes in the heavenlies. And we can raise and nurture our children in the heavenlies. Far, far above this twisted, perverted, depraved, sin-sick world. Oh, what a wonderful life. The life of an eagle. The life of a child of God. There's protection and security in the heavenlies. And oh, how we need to live in the heavenlies. Above this world. And it's as we live above, that's where you find a life that truly counts. That's where you find a life that truly matters. Above this world, that's where you find a life that makes a difference. That's where you find a life that is beneficial. That's where you find a life that's of a good influence and impact. Living above this world is where you find this life. It's where you find a life of usefulness. It's where you find a life of testimony for God. Because the eagle lives above, it lives a solitary life. There is no bird so alone as the eagle. Other birds go in flocks, the eagle never. If two are seen together, they're mates. It lives apart. Because other birds cannot live where the eagle lives. The lost world cannot live in the heavenlies. If you're going to live with the lost world, you got to get down in the chicken coop. You got to come down here. They can't go up there. And the other birds cannot go where the eagle goes. Oh, what a blessed life. In other words, the life of an eagle is different. And in a different atmosphere from the other birds. Again, you don't see the eagle hanging out with the chickens. And you don't see the eagle hanging out with the pigeons. And the chickens and the pigeons cannot live where the eagle lives. So therefore, the eagle's by itself. You live in the heavenlies, you'll have a solitary life as far as this world is concerned. The eagle has a level of life that is above and beyond all others. We need to be as eagles, living above. It's described in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, has risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. And there is within us a love, we that are saved, and a desire to live above. If you have no desire whatsoever to live above, you've never been saved. Because the creation miracle of God, because of the spiritual workmanship of God, we have a desire. There's something in us that longs for the heavenlies. Fly like the eagle above. Find your spouse above. Live with your spouse above. Build your home above. Raise your children above. There's no better place to live. The eagle also has extraordinary vision. The eye of the eagle is the creation miracle of God. Again, it has dual sets of eyelids, one being tinted like sunglasses, enabling the eagle to stare right into the sun. We the saved, we have the eye of faith that enables us and allows us to look upon God in His glory. No one else can do that. The worldling can't do that, but we can. All because of what God has done. Also, as the eagle descends for its prey, the muscles in the eyes continually adjust the curvature of the eyeball. This enables the eagle to maintain sharp focus and accurate perception. And we, the saved, have the ability by the creation miracle of God of salvation to maintain sharp focus and accurate perception. An eagle can spot a rabbit 2 miles away, we're told. We've all heard the expression, an eagle's eye. An eagle's eye. If we had an eagle's eye, we could stand on the roof of a 10-story building, look straight down, and see what the person below is texting on their phone. If you had an eagle's eye. They have amazing vision. They have a field of vision that is 340 degrees. If you and I had such a field of vision, we could almost look all the way around our head. Or see around our head. We the saved, living above, have an entirely, a vastly different field of vision than the short and narrow vision of the worldling. The saved have the eye of faith, whereby they can see what others cannot. You and I that are saved can see things that the world cannot see. We read in John 8, verse 56, that Abraham saw Christ's day. Now that's some eyesight. He could look ahead and he could see Jesus Christ's day. That's faith. He saw the person of Christ. He saw the incarnation of Christ. He saw the day of Christ's suffering. He saw the day of Christ's resurrection. He saw the day of Christ's ascension. And you and I that are saved, we can look all the way back. We can see all the way back before the foundation of the world, and we can see God choosing us in Jesus Christ, and we can see Jesus Christ coming to this earth in a body of human flesh, and we can see by the eye of faith Jesus Christ going to the cross, laying down His life, paying our sin debt, and being laid in a tomb, and coming out of that tomb, and ascending back into heaven, and coming again for us. That is some vision. Amen. And we have that by faith. Oh, we're not to live blindly like the world does. The child of God can see into the glories of heaven. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 27, concerning Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Invisible to all the world, but the eye of faith can see. We can look through all the circumstances and all the situations of life, and we can see what is unseen by the natural man. We, the saved, have an entirely different perception than those of the world. If you see like the world sees, you're living below your capabilities. That chicken doesn't see beyond the chicken coop. Don't live in the chicken coop. Live where the eagle lives, up above. And living by faith, seeing God, the cares of life and the burdens of life, they look different. And the pressures and the sorrows and the deep rivers and the rough roads and the obstacles, they all look different when you can see the invisible, when you can see God. The eagle also, we're told, is drawn to its home on high. Again, the eagle is a creation miracle of God. Inside the eyes of the eagle are tubes, cylinders filled with electrolytes. These are called pectives. With age, they harden. And the electrolytes begin to intensify and they almost become magnetic. And the further the eagle gets from its nest, the more there's a gravitational pull on the eyes of that eagle to keep it coming back home. Keep it coming back home. No matter what happens in any given day, the eagle comes home. There's a gravitational pull. The worldling is defined by the pull and force of the world. But you and I that are saved, we are not defined by this world. And there should not be a pull upon us from this world. But there ought to be a drawing to our home on high. Also, the eagle thrives in the storm. Living above, the eagle can perceive the storm far off. And when the storm clouds gather, the eagle, unlike the chicken, does not become worried, does not run in circles, flapping its wings, clucking, and running for the chicken coop. But the eagle, seeing the clouds, feeling the wind, seeing the coming storm, actually becomes excited, turns its face toward the storm, and would feel the strong wind, and at the right time, the eagle spreads its wings and leaps off its perch and flies directly into the storm with its wings outstretched, catching the updrafts caused by the storm. That eagle gets above the clouds. So it is with you and I. As children of God, by the amazing work of God, we can live above the clouds. We can live above the storm. The eagle uses the pressure of the storm to fly higher. So you see, the eagle doesn't view the storm the same way the other birds do. It looks at the storm as an opportunity to fly higher. Lastly, the eagle was created to soar. To soar majestically above the earth. They are born to soar. And when God saved our soul, born again from above, we are now born to soar, to take off. The eagle is characterized, of course, by buoyancy, having the power to rise above. And we have the power to soar above. We have the power to rise above. Far too many saved individuals are controlled and dominated by circumstances and situations of life. Far too many of God's people find themselves in the prisons of pride or jealousy or anger or malice or bitterness or unforgiveness. They've been arrested. They've been laid hold of. It's like that eagle in the zoo has a chain fastened to a rock. Can no longer live like an eagle lives. Can no longer live as it was born to live. So there are many of God's people in the same situation. But you and I can soar above all the circumstances of life. And you know what happens? When we begin to soar, the smaller the world, the smaller down below appears. The honors of down below, the wealth and the material things, they just get smaller and smaller and smaller as we soar. As we soar, the impurities of the world are left below. And as we soar, our perspective rises. And our spiritual health increases. God created the eagle to rise above and go beyond the things of the earth. And we need to hear the calling of Revelation 4 verse 1, come up hither. And I believe if we listen, we can hear the Lord saying every day, come up hither, come up hither. You don't have to live in the chicken coop. Come up hither. Hearing that voice, we ought to soar toward the sun, getting closer and closer, soaring above the disruption, soaring above the turbulence and the pandemonium and the crisis that is below, soaring to greater spiritual heights. The eagle is an amazing creation of God. Therefore, it does not live like others. You and I that are saved are the amazing, miraculous creation of God spiritually. And we can now live as others cannot. But how often we limit, we restrict, we inhibit, we hinder our spiritual possibilities in many, many, many different ways. That would be a different message. But the truth is, there is life above. There is a life above. And the truth is, you and I that are saved can soar above. We can live above. We don't have to live here, scratching in the dirt. That's not how we're to live. We're to live above. And there is liberty. There is liberty above. All the potential that is ours as children of God. As the eagle. As the eagle. We're to live differently. Most people, if you see an eagle gliding through the air, it's an amazing sight to most people. It's wonder. And you wonder, how can they do that? It's all by the work of God. And the world ought to look at the lives of God's people. And their lives are so much different that it ought to fill them with wonder. Where they ask, how can you do that? It's by the amazing work of the Lord. Oh, that you and I, how sad for an eagle, how unnatural for an eagle to hang out with the chickens and to walk with the pigeons. That's not where we're to live. God has created us for something far, far greater. We need to realize that. We need to realize that God has blessed us in a way that He has not blessed others. And our life is to manifest such. If you're here today and lost, you must be born again, Jesus said. You have to receive life from above. And that life enables you to believe, enables you to come to Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to be saved today. Because I don't know if you have tomorrow. You need to be saved today. You need to be saved right now. Oh, that God would come down where you are and save your soul. When that takes place, you now have the ability to live above. You have the ability to live above this world. You know, a lost person can try and act like a saved person. But it can't continue for long. It'd be like the sparrow trying to fly up by the eagle's nest. Oh, you can try. But you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it because you don't have what it takes. Oh, that God would save your soul today. And that you could live the rest of your life in the heavenlies. Again, Isaiah wrote in a very difficult and very trying time, very sinful time. And he's telling the people of God, you can be as the eagle. You don't have to live below here in this filth. We can live above that. God help us that we have no desire whatsoever to live in the chicken coop, to live amongst the pigeons. But that God would give us a desire to live our lives above. To build our homes above. To raise our children above. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.